Hi, it's Kane Hodder, Jason from Friday the 13th. You're watching Slash and Cast. Keep watching, or I'll kill you and your whole family.
What's going on, horror fans? Welcome to another episode of Slash Cast. My name is Riley, that is Nick, and joining us today is, you may know him as the old MWM Project host, Ethan Spickler. You know, he's going to come in. We're not sure how often you're going to be on, but when you're here, why not be on? It's a why good not? Time. You know, you give us great input on topics. You always did.
Always try.
That's why you're here. He's also growing a beard to fit in. Don't you like? Put in the comments right now if he should keep it going.
I don't know.
He doesn't want to. We're trying to force him to.
This is the farthest it's ever gone.
I like it.
I like it.
I don't know. I'm scared.
The ladies like it.
Keep better it. Like it. I ain't doing it for me.
Yeah. I ain't doing it for me.
Don't thank me.
All right, before we get into actual topics of the day, for those looking to play Friday the 13th the game with us, all of us, all three of us,
yes.
Head on over to any of your platform of your choosing, whether that's Xbox, PS4, or Steam. Go to your club, group, community, whatever you want to call it, and use /ncastfans with no apostrophe before the end, except for PS4. Once again, that is Nick's fault.
Uh-huh.
Not consistent. Not a big deal, though. But yeah, if you want to play with us, that's the place to go, where I'll be going in all across platforms and playing with you guys. So that's the place to go.
Yeah. Also, check out the Friday the 13th Discord if you haven't. It's a great community, fan-run. You know, we get to talk about the game and even the movie franchise. Mm-hmm. Got the developers in there, Ben, Wes, even some guys from Illphonic. Great YouTubers in there, Jason Takes Omegle, Charm and Xsoft. We're in there. We're in there all the time, mm-hmm. on all the time. You know, you get a little bit off topic, go to off topic. You know, there's even a dank meme section. Can't go wrong.
To clarify, that's Rain Skull's Discord. There are several actual F13 Discords building up. Rain Skull's Discord is one where you'll find all your developers and your YouTubers and whatnot.
Right, and that link will be in the description below.
Yep, sure will. But let's go ahead and move on to our first topic, which, of course, is Friday the 13th, the game. Now, not a ton of news, but some definitely valuable input here. First of all, the DLC clothing packs were all pretty much straight up revealed through a stream that Wes did on Twitch. And, you know, we're not going to go through all of them. There's a link in the description to the actual stream itself that was recorded. But, yeah, I mean, you got stuff like Vanessa and her DLC packs here. As you can see, like, all the items of clothing that you get. There's actually a lot more options than I expected to be from the baseline that's, like, not DLC.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there. You get 3 DLC clothing options, like, including tops, pants, and shoes. That comes with the DLC for each character. So, not bad, though. But I see, you know, Vanessa here. And, of course, you know, Vanessa looks great, all right? I got to level with you. And then, you know, my favorite look, personally, Chad. All right? Chad's looking great. The rich boy look is great. But you know what's even better than Chad? Come on. You know it's La Chapa. It's La Chapa looks great, and this is like his little SpongeBob looking outfit, which everyone's digging. But yeah, go ahead. Once again, that link is in the description to the actual video. Wes goes through all of them one by one. A lot of options, a lot of diversity, really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just get you more excited for the game coming up. But what gets us even more excited is a tweet that came from Ronnie, which was another perk reveal. Now, we don't know a lot of these perks, and this is probably the last one we're going to get before release. But this one is called Ice Cold, which you'll experience less fear when seeing a dead body of a teammate, which is actually pretty valuable, because I don't know what you may not remember from the beta, but when you see a dead body, I mean, you freeze, like you stop in your play. It's like, oh my god, is that a dead body? So when you have somebody that's not very resilient to that, it can be tough. But the pro that comes from that, of course, is your dead body fear resistance goes up 37%. It's a tremendous increase. But the con is that you go down 3% in your sprint speed. Not just your jogging speed, but your sprint speed will decrease. Mm. Not bad.
You know, 3%, honestly, that seems a little low.
I thought so, too.
You know, for the positives, the negatives
might outweigh it.
I mean, 37%. I mean, yeah, but only a 3%.
Is that for every character, though?
I don't know.
Because what we're seeing right here is Jenny, who's, like, not the fastest. So maybe they're like, all right, let's not take quite as much away.
I don't know. I feel like the perks might be universal throughout the counselors.
That's what I would expect.
Or it takes a percentage off. of a specific character of whatever their sprint ability is.
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of work to, you know, tailor a perk for each character. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we don't have that information, sorry.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're universal, and Ronnie did say that's the last tease we'll get.
Yeah. At least he's pretty certain that is that's going to be the last one. But yeah, I mean, okay, imagine this was Vanessa or like the jock, for example. Like, I mean, you're having that resistance. That's usually their weakest point when you're the athletic like characters.
Yeah.
So that fact that it goes up that much and your speed really isn't affected that much, I don't know. That could be really useful for people like that.
Yeah.
So not bad though. All right. So we have one more lot of news for Friday the 13th, the game today. This one's pretty upsetting for some of you people. We talked about way in the past that PS4 will not have pre-orders. Right. It's just the way timing hit with Sony. Either they'd have to wait for even longer for the game to actually be released if they were to go through pre-orders. We thought we were going to get it for Xbox. Confirmed, that's not happening. Yeah. There will be no pre-orders for Xbox now. So, you know, you still will be able to get it right on launch. Okay, you can order the second it happens at launch. Once again, for people that have already, like, ordered through the backer kit or on Kickstarter itself, you will still get it. Like, you still have the pre-order, like, coined or, like, what is it? It's like a token. It's
token
like their token.
Xbox.
Right. Yeah. So you'll still have that and you'll get it right away. For those that decided to wait to pre-order, you won't have that opportunity. You'll have to get it right away when it comes out on day one.
You can still pre-order via Steam for PC only.
Yes. That is the only way you can pre-order the game. But it's not that big of a deal ultimately, especially because considering the fact that the game is only 3.5 gigs. There won't be pre-installs as well. So, I mean, you're going to have to pre-install once, or not pre-install, you have to install once the game actually is released worldwide. So that's, you know, it kind of sucks, but it really, it's such a small game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a game like Call of Duty, that's 60, 70 gigs.
Yeah,
that'll take you all day.
Yeah.
This is only 3.67-ish.
Yeah, so on like an average internet, I mean, a half hour probably like tops.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. I think we'll get through it together. At least we're all taking the hit together, right?
Darn it.
All right, so that's your Friday the 13th game news. Let's go ahead and move on to our next topic, which is Phantasm Media Group announced their new limited edition magazine series that focuses on horror icons and more, of course. Now, of course, former Fangoria editor Chris Alexander, Brian Stewart, Heavy Metal Magazine, and designer Bill Mahaly have joined forces to create Phantasm Media Group, a new company that will focus on creating limited edition niche culture magazines. Their goal is to create officially licensed magazines that will focus on, quote, some of horror, dark fantasy, rock and roll, and pop culture's most celebrated names.
Right, yeah.
So the ultimate 80s magazine in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Alexander explains, quote, "This is a logical step for us. Bill has been making magazines for over 40 years, and my working relationship with him making 6 years of Fangoria magazines. Though he has been their art director since 1983, yielded not only dozens of exciting mass-produced magazines, but an enduring friendship. Brian is a revered fine artist and writer who has been working in the industry for years, and the three of us have continued working together on Delirium magazine with great success. We have shared a love for print media and horror movies and pop culture, and Phantasm Media is our bid to create beautifully produced magazines made exclusively for the collector's market. To kick off with a licensed tribute to our friend and hero, George Romero, is an honor indeed."
Which is epic, by the way. Yeah. I mean, as you see here, George Romero is killing it on the cover with this comic look himself. Now, of course, George Romero is the man who brought us Night of the Living Dead, you know, Dawn of the Dead, all of the Dead movies in a nutshell, pretty much, including Martin Knight Rider's Creepshow. George Romero has done it all, and he's been around for a long time. Super nice guy as well. Met him in Texas. Great guy. So, yeah, it's really cool that they're starting off with George Romero. But Stewart went on to add that monster magazines were a huge part of my childhood, and I love making them with these guys. It only made sense to strike out on our own to create the kind of high-quality collectible magazines we wanted to see, but never did. A lot of people think print is dead, but the truth is, print will never die. The need to hold a magazine or book in your hands will always be greater than the need to have a picture of it on a screen. Digital is fine, but I can't put that on my shelf.
That's true.
I feel that.
Yeah, this is going to be a big item for collectors out there. You know, we might have to get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, Fangoria is still huge. I still have a ton of Fangorias.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I imagine this being pretty successful.
Yes, print media is definitely dying, but, you know, people still love it.
Yeah.
Especially magazines like this.
Yeah, true. Collectible stuff like this. And, you know, horror fans are needing something that really will stand out again on printed stuff. So, you know, we're hoping that it keeps going. There's a good punch. It's starting off great, so that's good. Now, for more information, head on over to the official Phantasm Media Group website, or you can follow them on Twitter.
Right, and a quick distinguation, don't just search Phantasm. You will get a softcore porn movie. You need to search Phantasm Media.
Not unless you want to. Not unless you want to.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, whatever you're into.
Whatever you're into, bud. You know, yeah, whatever.
Not a problem to me. But if you're looking for this Phantasm, make sure you clarify what you're actually looking
Phantasm
for.
Phantasm Media.
Phantasm Media. All right, with that, let's go ahead and move on to Killer Questions. Today, we have a couple of killer questions. First one coming from Crescent Skull Cinema, who asks, have you ever been unfortunate enough to try the Ouija board? If not, what are your thoughts on it?
You know, yes, I have. In fact, we did it about one floor up a couple months ago. I'm not a believer. You know, I do believe that it is fake, and, you know, your mind wants to make it work, so you end up moving it to whatever you want to see. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I tell myself that that's not happening, and nothing happens. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not a believer.
I mean, the last time I did it, we did it for our short film, Ouija.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last time I've done it. I mean, it was it's a fun time to do, you know, with friends or anything like that. Yeah, but I don't believe it.
I've done it. I do. Okay, I'm a believer in ghosts.
Yes, mm-hmm. Same,
of course.
So like, yeah, I believe in like the spirit life. You know, I'm like fairly religious when it comes to that kind of stuff. But when it comes to like the Ouija board, I think most cases of the Ouija board are fake.
Yeah.
That's pretty proven. I forgot what that is called. That mind like said that effect where it's like you are doing it but you don't realize you're doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's that, you know, not to say but people that are doing Ouija boards. But we've had I don't know if you remember, but when we first did it, that was not for our film. Some weird stuff happened. Things that we couldn't really explain.
Before the film, right?
Right. So, like, yeah, there were answer to questions that just didn't really make sense. Like, we had two other people running the Ouija board, and then the person off, like, not using the Ouija board was asking questions about themselves that people using it wouldn't know, mm-hmm. and it answered the questions, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that was, I was like, oh, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like, the Zozo thing, like, everyone's heard of the Zozo thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that kind of stuff I've seen before, but I don't really know. I definitely think that the cases of the Ouija board, most of them are fake. There's very
majority of them are off.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's possible for it to actually be real, though.
Yeah.
I mean, for real cases to happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's possible.
Yeah.
Of course.
I don't know. But we have used one. Mm-hmm. Some people are really like scared to use them. Like, I can't get my girlfriend to use it. Like,
some people, man, they don't really like it, or people that have done it, they like think of them as against themselves because mm-hmm. they've done that, you know.
I totally understand the idea of like it's opening a door. Like, I get that. Yeah. I mean, you're calling out. I mean,
basically.
So like even if I don't believe like what's going on with it, I always say goodbye. Like, no, say goodbye just in case. I don't want to be possessed by no demon.
Yeah, it's just like you say something and you knock on wood, like, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
Making sure.
Just making sure, you know.
Yeah, no demons in mind. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Our next question comes from Zio, who asks, if you could each make your own horror film, regardless of budget, what would it be about, and what would it be called?
This is a hard one, man. You know, honestly, I think I'd do sort of a monster movie type. Big fan, Godzilla's, King Kong's. You know, I don't know what it'd be called. I don't know the monster. but, you know, I mean, that's always interests me, and I think I would go there.
Yeah, I actually like that. I'd probably do a monster movie too, actually. I always used to like love the classic Mummy films a lot, especially with their like, you know, their little like the thriller pieces with them and all that. But I don't know what direction I would go with it, in a sense. But I feel like that type of vibe and type of like sense, I'd love to get into that.
Obviously. Yeah, it's a tough question.
Yeah, really, it's a very one. Yeah. I mean, it's a very open question, and you know, I like to, when it comes to filmmaking, I like to live like in the now, right? I like to focus on what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I'm switching up the question a little bit, but if I could have like a budget tossed to me that could do anything, it would be what we discussed previously. Like, I want a budget for that. I want to get that made. I want to make that a thing.
Of course, I don't want to say what that's called. Yeah. I'm going to put that aside. But, like, I don't know. If I could go something, I'm once again, change the question. If I could go back and, like, make something from the past, that's another tough question, too. But, like, I of course, would want to be part of films that, like, changed how I look at film. Like, Psycho would be cool. I'd love to be a part of that and have the chance to be, like, to be the creator of such a thing. But then, like, also, when I say that, I also would never want to touch such masterpieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess I'm curious of how, like, my mind would make the same script.
If you were involved.
Right. If I had never seen Psycho, I'm curious of how I would have made that film with the same exact script.
Yeah.
That's a nice twist to it, though.
Yeah.
You can think of it in that many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for anything, like, I'd want to do something very original and something that hasn't been done before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, hey, let's go ahead and move on, though. If you want to... You want to submit a killer question, head on over to Twitter and use #NCast and have a chance to be featured on the show. We love answering questions. Make it happen. But, like I said, let's move on to our next topic, which is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The prequel, Leatherface, we talked about it. It's officially coming this October, okay? Now, word came via Twitter from producer Krista Campbell. Who said, to all Leatherface fans out there, the movie will be released in October. Well, oh, goodness.
Wow.
Damn.
Just jumping right into things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had no idea this was actually going to happen. We were kind of like bouncing back and forth. We also never actually talked about it would be a good idea to do the prequel. Especially because Texas Chainsaw 3D is, I mean, terrible. Yeah, and then it was announced that there was gonna be like 7 sequels. I think they're kind of putting that in the bag.
What we know so far for this film, the official synopsis, it's a prequel about teenage Leatherface who escapes from a mental hospital with 3 other inmates, kidnaps a young nurse, and takes her on a road trip from hell. Along the way, they are pursued by an equally deranged lawman out for revenge. One of these teens is destined for tragedy and horrors that will destroy his mind, molding him into the monster we now call Leatherface.
I don't really understand this movie. I do like... No, I don't know.
I do think it is a good idea. See where Leatherface came from.
But that's the thing. Like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning, is already a thing.
Yeah.
You're like, why?
I mean, you're really jumping in.
Do you think this movie needs to be made, though?
Absolutely not.
No.
I think that's maybe the issue, maybe. People see about it, maybe.
They, honestly, if you're going to go ahead and keep Texas Chainsaw Massacre alive, I seriously would jump to a reboot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, I don't know. It seems like everything that comes out is a reboot, even though it's like things are being considered sequels. But like the 2003 reboot, it's solid to me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
But the beginning, it's very gory, but that one's not as bad either. But like, let's look at Texas Chainsaw 3D. Like, that's technically a direct sequel to the 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid as hell, but it is technically a sequel. I think that was a bad idea too. Mm-hmm. They had to know they were playing with fire when they did that. Like,
yeah.
Taking the original, this masterpiece of horror, right, that changed everything in the genre, and then like, let's make a sequel 40 years later, and a shitty one on top of that.
Yeah.
Can't even make it good.
Yeah. But for Leatherface, principal photography began on May 18th, 2015. Including shooting locations in Bulgaria. So, I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, I believe before, they're mainly shot in Texas in all the other films. So this one is, I think, the first one to go international.
Yeah, not bad. At least we're changing up something, right?
Yeah.
I also like how they're bringing in the mental hospital thing, actually showing 3 inmates escaping from a mental hospital. So that's a little more interesting. But, of course, I mean, the backstory we already know is being completely altered again. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm telling you, this series is just such a mess now that I don't know what links with what. I'm just...
I'm excited. I want to see it. I don't know how to say this.
Of course, if it's done well, I'm totally, like, I'm all in for it. Because I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's just, like, some of them are getting kind of redundant.
Yeah.
And it's they're starting to cash grab pretty hard. So, if it's done well, cool. Awesome.
It is a cool idea.
Yeah, so I'm hoping. But Leatherface is directed by Alexandre Bastillo and Julian Mori from a script penned by Seth Sherwood. The film stars Stefan Dorff, Lily Taylor, and Nicole Andrews.
Yep.
Nice.
Hey, could be worse. really hoping for the best, but yeah, I'm just nervous at this point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, let's go into our last topic of the day, which one makes me want to kind of punch myself in the face. Danny McBride says Michael Myers will no longer be immortal in Halloween 2018. Now, okay, let's take a step back. All right. It's been a couple months since we've had any updates on the Halloween reboot, which is currently in the works at Blumhouse. The film is being helmed by David Gordon Green, who is co-writing the script with his frequent collaborator, Danny McBride. In February, McBride offered some hints of the direction he and Green will take the established Halloween mythologies and how the new film will be unique. All right. Now, to recap, okay, McBride, quote, you know, it's not a remake. It's going to continue the story of Michael Myers in a really grounded way. And for our mythology, we're focusing mainly in the first two movies and what that sets up and then where the story can go from there.
Okay, so it's Halloween 3. It's the Halloween 3 we never got because of Season of the Witch.
I guess so, yeah.
Right, I think that's where they're going. Full disclaimer, I love Season of the Witch. It's not a bad movie.
Oh, yeah. We have a TV right behind the camera that plays a movie all the time. Season of the Witch has been playing for the last 2 days.
Yeah, all weekend. recently we got some new insight spilled by McBride from an interview with IO9. I think we're trying to strip it down and take it back to where it was so good about the original. It was very simple and achieved that level of horror that wasn't corny. And it wasn't turning Michael Myers into some supernatural being that couldn't be killed. That stuff to me isn't scary. I want to be more scared by something I think really could happen. I think it's much more horrifying to be scared by someone standing in the shadows while you're taking out the trash as opposed to someone who can't be killed pursuing you. Okay.
What? We'll come back to it. Yeah. I'm going to hold back for now.
Yeah, finish this.
All right, now the article that we're directly referring to says, quote, I, for one, think McBride and Green are onto something great here. The original Michael Myers from Halloween 1978 was scary because he was unassuming. Yes, a mask made him terrifying, but beneath it all, he was just a regular dude. Someone who wouldn't think twice about if you passed him on the street. While hulking superhuman Michael Myers makes for some exciting horror bubblegum, it definitely dilutes the genuine horror of the franchise's roots.
What?
You know, Michael has never been Jason. You know, now there are some of the films in the series that have been obviously well over the top, have gone away from the story. But what bothers me about what's being said is that Myers was just a regular dude in the first one. Mm-hmm. What made Halloween scary is that you didn't know. You didn't know. You didn't know if he was just a regular dude with no motive, just snapped one day as a 6-year-old kid. You didn't know that. Or maybe he was some essence of pure evil. Okay. And he did have some supernatural power and no way of dying. But to say that he didn't have any, he was just a regular dude is ridiculous to me because he was shot 6 times. I shot him. I shot him 6 times. I shot him in the heart. This man is not human. I mean, he says that.
Yeah, and especially, you're going off of Halloween and Halloween 2. Like, how can he not be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Rob Zombie's Halloween kind of proved, you know. It was just a messed up childhood. It was not he wasn't immortal in Rob Zombie's Halloween and Halloween 2, correct? He was just a big tank of a man.
Maybe in the first one in Rob Zombie's Halloween that makes sense, but I mean he got shot in the brain at the end of Halloween and there's a sequel.
Yeah,
but like in the first one he is just a big hulking massive dude that can take a shot. At least that's what it seemed like he was hinting.
Yeah, but I mean, in the originals, he was pure evil.
Right.
He took shots.
Yeah.
He got up. He and then he was gone.
Well, he took six shots from, I mean, he took six shots, all right, that clearly hit. Falls, he kept standing, by the way, all right, until the point that he fell off the balcony, lands flat in his back off a second floor balcony, and, you know, within 20 seconds, he's gone. Completely out of sight.
How is that human?
Yeah. And then what also doesn't make sense to me, since we are going off Halloween 1 and 2, all right? Remember the end of Halloween 2 where he's sitting there burning?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Man, how is a human going to get up from that? If they're actually going off of that, if they're actually using Halloween 1 and 2, of course, I don't know. I don't know what the actual plot line is. I don't know when this takes place. But if they are going off of those movies, no humans walking away from that.
Did they not watch? Did they not watch him? Like, come on. Like, it's very clear that he is more than human.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's supernatural or something. Like, no. I don't like the word supernatural because that makes me think of like Halloween 6, where it's like the stars line up. He's got the tattoo on his wrist. Yeah. Now that's too much. I agree. Throw that out the window. But he appears to be immortal.
Yeah, just the essence of pure evil.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Because then, I mean, that's fine. They want to keep it grounded in a sense. I mean, that's literally in the quote, which is...
Yeah.
But you're grounding it too much to a point where you're almost not even acknowledging the character that he is pure evil. You know, like that's...
I think this is a bit of a misquote.
It is.
It has to be.
It has.
How can you say you're going back to the source material... And then say something that's not source material.
Yeah. There's no way a real... Like, these guys apparently are huge fans, right?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that their mindset is that, oh, he's just a regular dude. Like, he's just some dude that just snapped one day. This is why I love the first Halloween. There's a reason it's my favorite movie.
Yep.
Like, he's just a six-year-old kid. He came from a good home, all right? He looked like he had... solid business parents, went out on dates. They were, you know, he had a regular teenage sister, you know. I mean, and then for no reason, he killed her. For no reason. There were, like, he wasn't mad and just snapped like he did in, like, Rob Zombies. He didn't just hate everybody around him. He just did it. And then he didn't talk for 15, well, he didn't talk ever, but, like, he was silent for 15 years. And then he escapes. And, it's explained in Halloween 2 that it's just, like, that Laurie Strode's his sister, right? But in the first one, first people he saw, he went after.
He's killing to kill.
Yeah, just killing
to
kill.
No real motive.
The essence of pure evil.
That is evil at its finest.
And that is the scariest thing to fans.
Yeah. Like
some fans.
I understand. Like, I understand people like certain types of horror. That's fine. But, I mean, to change what it already is is weird to me. So I wish they just wouldn't have said anything. Like, okay, we're going back to the roots. That's all I need. You don't need to tell us that he's not immortal, or like I don't get it. This has to be like some sort of his words are being mixed,
right?
Or
and
something.
The fact that John Carpenter is on board with this, it has to be a misquote or something, or maybe John Carpenter heard wrong when he said I'm on board. Like,
maybe he was misquoted.
You're going back to the franchise's roots, but really you're not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, still have no idea. You know, what also doesn't make sense to me, I mean, they're confirmed going 1 and 2, and we talked about this in the past, but now that we're talking about it, I want to keep it going. They say they're going 1 and 2 and disregarding everything else, okay? So H2O is no longer in the mix, which also means Resurrection is no longer in the mix, which means Laurie Strode's still alive.
Yeah. Are we going to see a Laurie Strode?
Will it be Jamie Lee Curtis?
No. but I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Will we see a Laurie Strode? It would make sense.
And how far in the future is this? Is this take place in 78?
That'd be nice, you know?
That'd be insane.
Yeah.
I don't think it's...
No, maybe 79.
I miss the original idea that they had for making another sequel, which was jumping 30 years into the future, you know? And, you know, the deputy that we saw in the original is now the sheriff, and he's still out to get Michael.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's up for being executed. He's going to get executed, and the people break into these things. And that's a cool concept to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a good way to stick with the original roots, but still have it be in the future and make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we still have no idea where they're going other than the fact that they're sticking to Halloween 1 and 2.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know how closely. God, there's so many open... I don't want to... I'm already judging it. Mm-hmm. I know I am. I'm not trying to. But this is something that's, like, so close to my heart that it hurts. But it's like, I can't judge it properly until I know what the plot is. Okay? Like, I can't say what is. I will say that no matter where... If they do take that approach where he's not this essence of pure evil anymore, I don't like that decision.
Yeah.
It's almost not the character.
Right.
Itself.
You know, I'm sure we'll be seeing an October 2018 release. You know, can't wait. You know, we're going to see a Halloween movie in theaters.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
Driving.
Please. I mean, yeah, it's going to be cool. Let's hope the movie, you know, is what we've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm. For sure. With that is a wrap on Slash Incast today. Thank you guys so much for watching. Editor, roll that outro. Hey, you!
Thanks for watching this episode of SlasherCast. If you enjoyed, make sure you drop a like and click that box right down there to check out last week's episode.
Also, if you want to check out the film the fans are calling the best fan film of all time, make sure you click that box right down there to check out our Friday the 13th fan film.
While you're at it, click that circle right there to subscribe to our channel and never miss a video again.
As always, thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.